This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Hello, Pedro, first in. Hello, Chip Brothers. I was going to say hi to everybody. That's what I do from now
That's
on.
The
so
show
we're
now.
Rapper room now.
That's the show.
I see.
Just Chip.
And naming people who are listening.
That's it.
Chris, I see Amy.
You want to hear your name on KMOX? Just tune into the DGS. 4 hours of that. Did I see an Amy scare earlier? Did I see you scare Amy?
Yeah, I got her good.
Sure did.
And Michael Calhoun blamed me. I'm the victim.
Yeah.
I'm the victim. He's like, how are you not prepared for this? You work with him every day.
He's right.
I'm the victim.
Get it together,
How
dude.
Often does he do that?
Not very often. I can't think of the last time you scared me.
And all I was hiding behind the wall, and all I said was, where are you going?
No, he didn't. It. He jumped out from behind the wall and went, where are you going?
Did you do the Batman voice?
Where are you going?
Yeah, not exactly.
I just heard Amy scream and I put two and two together.
Yeah.
I was just asking what she was
doing.
It was
a little breathier than Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, it got me. I was like,
There's one thing, other than baseball, Kevin and I both like. Another thing is the scare pranks.
Yeah.
I kind of like watching videos of people getting frightened by friends.
Do you mind being the one who's scared?
It doesn't. Yeah, I don't care. It's all right.
You can take a joke.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I mean, I was laughing because he got me so good. I will say the only time where I like ended up on the floor, I was so scared, is it's when I worked at the running store. I worked at Fleet Feet, and this one of the guys that I worked with, and we were all in our 20s, so it was just insanity. And I walked out of the bathroom in the back, and he had an air horn that they used to start the races. And I will open the door, walk out of the bathroom, and it just goes with the air horn. I just dropped on the ground.
My worst was, so I used, when I was in college, I played in a Christian rock band, and we kept all of our equipment at this church. And so after gigs, we'd have to go back to the church and put it all away, and we would scare each other. And churches are scary at night. They just are. And the keyboardist would sneak in and start playing The Exorcist and stuff, like good Christian boys. And so I was going to scare this one of our singers, and so I beat it in there, and I got the equipment room, and I'm just waiting. And I'm waiting for a pretty long time. He hasn't shown up. It's been like 5 minutes. He had beaten me in there.
Oh.
And he waited 5 minutes. He's standing right behind me and just put his hand on my shoulder.
Oh, no.
That was a bad one.
And to change your pants?
That was a bad one. The most hang time I've ever seen any human have was Nick was about 8. And I really, really scared him. Like, I waited in his room to scare him, and he jumped up in the air, and he just dwelled there.
Yeah.
Floated.
For several minutes.
Yeah.
Just every appendage moving. And
were you guys aware of the game, like the little trick that kids, I mean, we did this as a kids, but if you had a narrow hallway, which most of us did in our normal little houses, you could get your feet and hands on the sides of the wall, and you could climb up just bracing yourself.
It's next level.
And be up above where the little cutout is, so literally nobody could see you. You could just drop out behind them.
But I felt, behind the cutout. I'm thinking differently because the
little hallways are always low
ceilings, though, where you would see
the person. So the way it was set up in our house was there was a little bit of an overhang, and then the ceiling was higher.
Okay.
On the backside,
I don't
so you could kind of fit up in there when you were a little kid. I mean, can't do it as a grown person.
You ever?
It was a great move.
a thing I don't understand, I guess, because it's never happened to me, but a scare pee. You know, you get so scared you pee a little.
No.
Never had
happens
that.
In the happens. Pranks all the time.
You mean like...
Like, you see them on TikTok, it happens all the time.
A jump scare, or were you
like
just nervous?
Somebody gets scared, no, and they end up, like,
I peed.
Going a little.
Oh.
Rachel?
No. No, that's never happened to me, Chris.
Okay, all right.
It happened to me just now when you said it. Yeah,
really? I can't believe you never heard of this.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I just happens. Thought it was like...
It happens when people see Bigfoot.
Really?
They pee themselves?
Yeah.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard people laugh so hard.
So is that a fear reaction?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Like a primordial, this is not right.
We got to empty the tanks in case we have to run.
You know who else pees? Bigfoot.
When he's scared?
When he's chasing you. This is, I've like heard probably half a dozen.
What?
Yeah, half a dozen of these stories.
Yep. He's while running?
And it's evidently a thing in the animal kingdom. They're like, wolves will do that as well.
So they got to stop, though.
What's that?
They got to stop.
Yeah, I mean, before they eat you, I'm sure they stop peeing, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, like, they got to stop moving.
Wait, what?
No, you can pee while you run.
They do?
I've done it.
Ask Amy.
I can't. I've
people
tried.
Do it, right?
Yeah,
I was thinking more of the
it.
Wolves and the big feet, but, you know.
I don't know how they do it, because you hear of people like, oh, running a marathon, and she peed while she was running. I know people who said they've done it. I can't. I don't have the muscle control. I would have to
it's
stop.
It's a lot to ask.
I would have to stop. I can't, because I've even thought, all right, I'm going to see if I can do this. I can't. I don't know. But I'm also not very coordinated, so maybe that's what it is.
I'm going to see if I can do this. So just out on Forest Park one time, you're like, let's pee.
I was in a race, and I really, really had to pee, and it was uncomfortable. And I just thought, okay, what does it matter? You're going to change clothes immediately after you cross the finish line. And I was like, nope, I can't do it. I would have had to stop, so I may as well go to a port-a-john at that point. I don't know how people do it. To me, it's because you're racing hard. You're using all those muscles. I can't single out the muscles I would need to pee.
Yeah.
So just to go over the checklist, like somebody else putting their scarf around your neck is gross, but just peeing on yourself while you're running is totally normal.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to knock on wood here, because I feel like it's like bad karma now to say I've never been one of the gross runners where I've like had an accident. Like I said, knock on wood, where for whatever reason, I don't. Now, I've had to go, and you have to like run to the bathroom, but I've always made it to the bathroom. I do think maybe they highlight the gross stories a little bit more because of all the thousands of miles that I've run and the races I've done. I've never seen it. And like I said, and that was, you know, number two, number one. I never even really see that many people. Yeah, be gross.
I went a tiny bit of number two in a 100-meter race.
Oh, no!
At U of I.
No!
No one knew. It wasn't like, it wasn't an episode. I pretended my hamstring, I was like, oh, I'm hurt.
100 meters is just a couple of seconds.
Yeah, but...
Man, that's fast.
Yeah, I ran it in about two flat.
Two flat.
But it unlocked a new fear. So that back then I didn't know I had anxiety. I just knew every time I raced after that, I was afraid I was going to poop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean.
Because of course I did. Mm. Of course I did.
Hey, you want to go race today? Can't. Might poop.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Like I said, it's a fear. But I've been fortunate. But never in a short race. But I also don't run 100 meters.
Well, I had this on my sheet a couple days ago, and then I thought, it's not really enough for a segment, but since we're talking about it, I'll bring it up, that you're so plugged into college sports and pros and how many people go and scholarships and stuff, and I had a scholarship to SIU to run track. I mean, back when I went, it was literally, I think it was $1,000 a year. I mean, I really think that's what
it was. The
school was. It wasn't like a big deal, but I mean, I didn't have $1,000, but... I think in my entire career, I won 3 races, but I had so much fun and I learned so many things. My point being that if your kid can go to college to play sports, it doesn't matter if he goes pro or she goes pro.
No.
Like
no.
It's just, it's a great experience.
Pro shouldn't be the goal, because it's the rare opportunity, right? I mean, it can be a goal, but it shouldn't be the only goal.
Yeah.
Because your odds are, I don't care how great you are, how great you think you are, your odds are still small. It's still only something like 1% of college players go pro, and most of them are in the really big conferences. Most of them are SEC, ACC, Pac-12, whatever. But yeah, there's a lot to the experience of, I mean, and it's, yes, sports. And there are other things that are not sports that also provide these same kinds of things. But learning to work with a group of other people, learning to get along with teammates you don't like, and dealing with it and having to work with them and be okay with that. Learning to fail, figuring out what it means to try to move forward in a difficult competition. You know, I mean, like, there's a lot, and not to mention the fun, you know, making friends and celebrating things.
Yeah, most of those things you just said I didn't do.
Yeah,
I was, like, laying out on the pole vault pad, like, most of the time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's
getting a tan.
There's the fun, but, you know, everybody poops on fun ideas, right? Well, you're just not going there for fun. Like, no, there's fun. Yeah, sorry.
Not literally.
But, you know, they're...
Hey, I got a fun idea, guys. Bring it on.
There's way... You learn. Let's put it this way. You learned how to deal with what life will be if you're in competitive environments. It doesn't have to be sports, but obviously that's the one that I know.
Yeah, dance or whatever.
Absolutely the same thing.
Which I almost went into. You guys knew that. That I used to give karate and tap dance lessons.
That's right.
You should have meshed those two.
Oh, I did. It was like, you could get two for one.
Tap karate.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, put them together.
Oh, yeah, we
like
did.
Like, fight, tap, dance.
Heel toe, you know, roundhouse kick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. It's called karate tap.
Completely changing topics. Rach, are you comfortable doing your eeny, miny, mo thing?
Yeah.
What?
So yesterday we went to lunch at the new Asian place, and she was trying to decide between two items. So she did the dude, and she did it like under her breath.
I did it silently, but Dave knew what I was doing.
Yeah, and then she said a couple weird words that were different than my South Roxana eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And so what was yours?
Hold on. Let me like Google and make sure it's not bad.
The words that you said?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, I'll do it. It's eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by its toe. If he hollers, let him pay $50 every day. My mother told me to pick the very best one, and you are not it, you dirty, dirty dish rag, you.
Oh.
That's what we said at our school.
Yeah, well, we had that one.
I went all the way up to the, and you are not it. We didn't have the
dirty dish rag.
Yeah, we had
a
weird diss at the end for some reason.
We didn't have the insult at the end.
No, I never heard of that before.
You guys didn't have the dirty dish rag?
No, we just said you are not
Chris had it too.
It.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rach.
So we had it. Is that some sort of slur that I don't know about?
Dish rag?
Yeah,
I don't know. You can never be careful.
Growing up where we did, probably.
Maybe it replaced a slur.
That's probably what it is.
Maybe originally it had one.
What was the whole thing about the tiger paying?
If he hollers, let him pay.
Yeah, we didn't have the pay.
Every,
grab him by the toe.
If he hollers, let him go.
If he hollers, let him go. Yeah.
But I think they kept making it longer because kids figured out who it was going to land on.
Yeah, like you know which one to start on.
Yes,
so
they kept making it longer and
it's
longer.
It's really not
well,
that hard
play
to
that
figure
with
out.
With the whole you are it or not it, depending on which one you want it to
be. Yeah, you're way ahead of me.
Yeah.
I never understood those things.
Yeah.
Speaking of those kind of kids' games, did you guys ever play Spin the Bottle?
Yeah, once.
Yeah, I mean. Mm-hmm.
See, the way you say that elucidates my position exactly. You're like, of course, I was terrified to play Spin the Bottle. Like, just terrified. Because I didn't know about kissing girls.
Right.
And like sixth grade it started, and I would just keep getting meningitis, so I couldn't, like, go play. And I was just so stressed out by it.
You should have thought of the bubble thing.
Stressful. I would have been stressed out. We didn't play it. Not a surprise. But I think I would have been stressed out.
Yeah, I don't think I ever played at all, and it's not appealing to me. Like, oh, now I have to kiss whoever the bottle lands on. That sounds awful.
It sounds gross. I think even then I knew it was gross.
Oh, that wasn't my problem.
Oh, it was gross. Like, ugh, I'm not kissing that
girls
guy.
Used to just hand me the bottle, you know?
Here, go, go away.
Sure. Like, no.
Here, like, take this bottle and go
I'll
home.
Meet you in the closet.
Yeah, that was always like the most intimidating thing in the world was 7 minutes in heaven. Like, who are these like freewheeling teenagers playing this game?
I had never heard of that one. The seven minutes in heaven?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
Oh,
either.
Yeah.
I was a dork. No one was inviting me. Okay, if I told you the story before where I went to the party and we played hide and seek, it was Julie Jacoby's birthday party in seventh grade, and Brad Wells' brother took us. And it was a fun party. It was at Gordon Moore Park in Alton. And at some point it was, let's all play hide and seek. So I found this kick-ass hiding place in the bushes. And I didn't know that everyone but me was making out.
Oh.
Yeah. And I just kept raising my, you know, and looking. And I was just so proud of myself.
I'm killing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was so proud of myself.
Oh.
And it was all to impress girls. Everything I did was to impress girls. I just didn't know what would impress them, you know. I thought the cheerleader shoes would. I thought the nunchucking. Yeah.
And monkey mask.
Monkey mask, hiding better than anyone else. And so we get in the car, and Brad's like, who'd you make out with? I'm like, I'm sorry? He's like, yeah, who'd you kiss? And I'm like, oh, foiled again.
Like, that's what we were doing. I took tonight off, actually. Yeah.
To be fair, nunchucks are impressive.
See, he would have been impressed.
I would have been impressed by the nunchucks.
It was this gentleman in the Cornelius mask.
I'm so good at hide and seek. Didn't see a single girl.
No one sought me at all. So I need some help from the audience, my age. You guys may remember the restaurant Sweet Tomatoes. Does that ring a bell for anybody? It was like pretty much a big giant salad bar, and that's all it was.
I don't think so.
No.
Anyway, it's gone. It was really good. But I remember a restaurant like that. This can sound crazy, but it was just baked potatoes.
Really?
And there was one downtown, and it was like a line out the door. And I remember just being like, I don't get it. And you're like, oh, you just haven't been. And it was like this giant bar. You'd fill it with chili or monkeys or, you know, whatever it was. If there's anyone out there, because it's driving me crazy, who remembers, one, if that's even true, because I could have dreamt it, and what it was called. The potato restaurant.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I love baked potatoes, and I would do it. And when we, my sister and I went to Scotland, and they have street vendors that sell jacket potatoes. That's what they're called, jacket potatoes. And you can just walk up to the same way in Chicago you can get a hot dog. You just get a jacket potato. And I was like, this is my dream come true.
I'm
if
Scottish.
They have it at Busch Stadium. I don't know about it. But Sox Park used to have, and they might still, a place where you would go to get the baked potato and they would load it up with everything.
Oh, it's so good.
That was the best. I love that.
I eat a lot of baked potatoes.
Me too.
I hope there's one at Busch and I don't know about it. And if there is, let me know because I will go buy it. I love that.
Broccoli,
that is so good.
Cheese,
you put everything
like cheddar
on
cheddar cheese,
meat,
sour cream, bacon. Ugh, lots of salt. It is
a great
satisfying canvas. Yeah.
Oh, you could do anything to it.
Rach, remember when I did the baked potato diet?
Oh, how could I forget?
How'd it work?
How long?
I don't know. I feel like you did it for like 2 weeks or something.
Oh, no way! A couple of days.
Okay.
2 weeks. Ooh, no, I don't have that kind
Weren't
of stick to it.
Weren't you going through like Lion's Choice?
Lion's Choice.
Yeah.
I'd go through Lion's Choice and order 3 baked potatoes. They're like, get ready to be shot.
They have those there?
Yeah. Yeah, like $1.99.
Wow.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. At least they used to.
So how'd you feel?
Yeah.
I mean, Logie, like, you know, I think it was Penn from Penn and Teller who had gone on a potato diet and lost like 100 pounds. So I'm like, easy, done and done. I like potatoes.
Yeah.
But it was just potatoes. Yeah. Like there is no toppings. Yeah.
What's the movie with Matt Damon? Isn't it The Martian where he, that's all he
grows
has
potatoes
to eat
out of his own poo. Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, that's okay.
We did.
You're full of poo today, Kevin.
You guys brought it up. I brought a pee.
You need a timeout. DG Ass and Camel Wax. We are streaming on Facebook and YouTube, so join the party. Say hello to us. I survived the DMV this morning.
Ah.
Congrats.
I have to go back. So I had two things to do. My license had expired, and I just bought the new car, so I have to pay the sales tax and get my new tags. But evidently, you can't do both at the same time, or at least I didn't push it.
Of course not.
So it opens at 8, it opens at 9. I got there at 8:30. I was second in line. And then this nice lady was third in line, Rosie, and we just talked for half an hour. And it somehow came up that I was in radio, and she's like, do you know Brian McKenna? I'm like, oh, my God. Do I know Brian McKenna? So they're like buddies. So that was kind of nice. And then, I don't know if everyone does this, but the whole thing, when you go to the DMV, is you never have all of your documents. Mm-hmm. And they seem to take great glee in this. So my approach is always to be overly hyper-casual. Like, I'm just not worried about it at all. And so, like, when I walked up, I'm just like, oh, Carlita, is it? You look lovely. And I'm like pulling my stuff out as if, like, well, clearly I have everything. And I'm looking around and talking to other people like I'm 007 or something. I just don't want to look nervous. Mm-hmm. And I think it worked.
Uh-huh.
There are a couple things that are a little sketch, but she was like, oh, and I got to get my real ID.
Very nice.
How about that? Yes.
You're real.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
You can say, look, I'm the real Dave Glover.
So now I have to go back tomorrow or the next day, now that I know how the system works, and do my other stuff.
God, we have that all so ass backwards.
So it should be just once you buy the car.
Yeah. I mean, they changed it, and I don't know when it goes into effect.
It is this year, but I don't know when.
Yeah, that where you buy your car, you
take care of.
Well,
because they have people that just won't pay it, which is why you have so many people with no license plates and no registration, because you got to pay your personal property tax. So if you collect that at the time you purchase, which by the way is where it's the way it's done everywhere else. And you just roll it into your car loan, so it ups your payment like $5 a month, which most people can afford, as opposed to go cut a check for $2,000 or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah. What was everyone's first car?
1976 Mercury Grand Marquis, the Blue Whale.
That sounds pretty cool.
Four doors, 19 and a half feet long.
Wow.
Whoa.
That sounds really cool.
It's a
bigger than my apartment.
Car. I mean, no joke. In the back seat, it had the bench seat in the front, bench seat in the back. You could fit four across in the back seat.
Oh, I bet you did.
You could probably fit four ladies in the front, but it's a little dangerous. Ladies. Yeah.
Hop in.
Come on, there's room for four of you back there.
It wasn't a panel van, you guys.
Grab your friends.
Well, I told you, my friend had he was a real handsome guy, but he had this awful car. It was a, like a teal blue Ford Aspire.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen a Ford Aspire?
No.
Awful. And we used to call it the birth control pill because nobody. Like, hey, you bringing the pill? You picking us up? Because nobody wanted to get in that car.
My dad has always been into music, which is why I was raised on vinyl records and classic rock and all of that. But in the 70s, he had a full conversion van, a full-sized van, and it didn't have any seats in the back. So they would put lawn chairs. So he had a carpet with lawn chairs. And he said, I had good music, good speakers. I don't know how he did that in the 70s, but he did. And they would drive around and his friends would be in lawn chairs in the back of the van. And
that's cool.
They were sitting pretty.
I had a 71 Dodge Dart, blue with a gold door. And I got a Pioneer cassette sound system. And I put my home speakers in the back seat. I mean, that's about as South Rock Santa should get. And I was dating this girl, and she was playing softball, and it was at, I forget the name of the baseball park there in East Alton, but I was up on like a hill, and the sun was just going down, and I put in Back in Black and just turned it all the way up, and it's probably the coolest I've ever felt,
mm-hmm.
and the least cool I've ever been.
That's awesome.
Like, had I, at this age, seen that, I'd been like, I need to go talk to that young man. I need to do him a solid.
Do you think that you would listen to yourself if you...
I would listen to me.
That's what I'm wondering. I think about that all the time. Like, if I had me going back talking to me, would I be the only person I would listen to?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or would I not?
Well, this is going to sound like I'm patting myself in the back, but I would listen to a me, because in like 12, 13 years old, 1977, 78, there was no one like me. There's no one who dressed like they're in third grade who's 60, right? With beanies and tattoos. Like, had that guy walked up to me and said, let me tell you a few things about life, I'd been like, I'm all ears.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me. You've obviously lived. You've obviously had a wig at one point.
I wonder if there's anybody out there who I think I would. I think I would listen to me from the future. But I wonder if people would, because I don't know. It's obviously,
would you believe it
happen? I don't. That's what I'm wondering.
Like, somebody walks up to you that looks exactly like you but older, and they're like, hey, I'm you from the future. I'm going to be like, yeah, sure you are, buddy.
I think you'd be able to tell.
I feel like you'd believe it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd act a little bit like me. But if you're, you know, if you're like,
first thing you do would scare you.
Yeah, that's true. But it wouldn't work.
Because I would
wouldn't
know.
Work.
That's why this is a ridiculous hypothetical.
No, it just doesn't work. Try it. You guys try to scare me one of these days. It doesn't work.
My sister and I shared our first car because we could drive within like a couple of years of each other. And it was used, I don't know the year, but it was an old Honda Civic. It was green. And my parents had said, like, you can put a gazillion miles on a Honda Civic. This is a great car. But the rule was, like, we shared it, but it also... it was like, you have to help out with younger siblings. Like, you're going to be driving places. You're going to go to the grocery store. And so my first car I bought, I think I've talked about like the Mazda 3, that it was, there's like the base model and then whatever's below that, where, I mean, it was the crank windows. I didn't have automatic locks. Like, it had nothing. But man, I drove that thing into the ground. But yeah, the first car was like, all right, it's a Honda Civic. It was, you know, used, and you're going to share it with your sister and you're going to help out. And that was fun.
Yeah.
We did a lot of things together.
There's a rite of passage to having a really crappy car. And in college, living in a really crappy place. You know, like Phoebe's dorm at KU last year was evidently the oldest, worst one. Mm. And I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Because I knew this year she'd move into a mansion and then she'd be living in a house. So I wanted her to have a little bit of grit, which she appreciates. She got it. She understood. Let me ask you guys and the people online, which, by the way, hello, Brian McKenna. He's online saying that Rosie was excited to meet me. Good to see him, a pal. I'm not indicting my parents because it was a generational thing, I think. But my parents never taught me lessons. They never told me lessons. They may have taught me lessons.
Yeah.
But they never, ever said, like, you should pay your bills on time. You should this. You should avoid that. It just didn't exist. Did it for you guys?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
But it was done in song, though.
With the guitar. Yeah.
But we were also, like, homeschooled, so even...
Hit the bongos, honey.
Yes. Even, you know, going grocery shopping with my mom, it was like, all right, this is what it takes to run a household. This
is how
you keep laundry going. This is how you keep the dishwasher going. You shouldn't have to be asked. If you see the laundry needs to be changed, change it. Here's how you go grocery shopping. I like to make my list in order of the aisles, you know, that type of thing.
And to this day, I still get a text saying your Ameren bill is overdue. And that's how I know when to pay.
Auto pay Ameren. Auto pay's a lifesaver.
I auto pay like half things. Other things, I feel like I would just want to do it myself.
I don't want to auto pay my credit card. I like having to be forced to look at it, keep track of it.
Yeah.
But like Ameren, I have a really small bill because I have a really small apartment. Yeah. So I'm going to auto pay that $31.
Rach, did you get a lot of lessons?
Oh, yeah. I mean, plenty of things like what you just described as far as like how to, you know, pay bills and you want to make sure you keep on this kind of stuff. Like, I've been pretty responsible in my adult life with that kind of thing because mm-hmm. I just knew it would be like extremely disappointing to both of my parents if I ever had to come to them and be like, hey, I can't pay this bill or I fell behind on this. It was just always like, I'm the only one who's going to do it. I'm an adult now. So
I remember coming home, law school, or it could have been a lawyer. I think maybe I was a lawyer, and I was living in the West End with my buddy Ricky, who I lived with for years, and I came home at night and it was dark. And Ricky was sitting in the dark in a chair in his underwear. And I'm like, hey, what's going on, man? He's like, oh, they turned our power off. And I was like, they do that? Like, I just had no. Like, because we never got our power turned off.
Right.
I didn't know that was possible.
It does sound like that. Sounds like a shock. That would be a shock.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. And I thought, the world is so unfair.
Yeah.
That's BS, man.
I feel like that's cheating. You can't do that. You can't turn our power off.
That's so much leverage.
That's cheating. Yeah.
Now we have to pay it. That was so great. We would only clean our apartment. We would never clean our apartment. And then it would get so bad, we would have a party so that you had to clean the apartment.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure it was super dirty the next day again.
Oh!
Ugh.
This, Wheels, so this was at a place on Union, like Union and Washington in the West End. And what it was is they had taken three apartments, turned it into the penthouse for Harry Carey.
Okay.
And so, my bedroom was supposedly Harry Carey's bedroom, this big atrium with all these windows and stuff. But that was, I don't know how much of that is urban legend, but I know that he lived there. But that was kind of cool. That was pretty neat.
Oh, that's interesting.
Was he a huge deal still when you were in Chicago?
He was, well.
Was he gone already?
Yeah, he had passed by the time I got there, but he was still a presence.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They do the seventh inning stretch and his image is everywhere, and there's a Harry Carey's restaurant. So,
man, there's I'm trying to remember the player. I was down on the field. I used to go when I was at Sporting News Radio back in the early 2000s. I would go, or late 90s, early 2000s. I would go to Cubs games just to go, and like meet people and like talk to Steve Stone or mm-hmm. whoever. And I forget who it was, but there was a Mets player that used to be a Cub. And he was standing down doing batting practice, and Harry Carey saw him. And Harry's like, hey, look at you. And the guy just rolled his eyes. He's like, oh, God. Oh, no. He was so upset that he was found by Harry Carey because he knew it meant it was going to be a long conversation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah.
Jennifer says, hey, you guys, how's Andrew? Andrew's still homesick. He's feeling better. He's no longer throwing up. He was planning on coming in tomorrow, and I told him don't.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I said, it's better for you. It's better for us. Just see how you feel on Friday. So,
tell me, better use a vacation day, though. it's got to be vacation. Me. Yeah.
Make sure you take that day.
It's crazy. Like, I was texting with him last night, and like, either way, whether this is a continuation of last week or a brand new one, either way, it's weird.
Well, that's what I was like, you don't hear of that. I don't know that I've ever heard of that ever, because the only silver lining in getting the throw-up sickness is...
You're good for a while.
You're good for a while. Yeah. Right. That's the only silver lining. And so I don't know.
I don't think that you would get it twice. And I
if anyone's going to, it's Andrew.
I didn't think it laid dormant for a couple of days either.
Well, you go to a convention in Chicago.
Going to eat hot pots.
How many sick people are from there are sick now because of him?
Oh.
Or did he get it again from someone there?
I don't know. I'm blaming him.
Well, because he was saying he had the convention crud. That's what they call it.
Yeah, that's what he said to me.
If you go to a convention like that, you get sick, like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross.
That's why I'm not going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I'm not going to go to
I was worried about
But I'll go to sporting events and concerts. That's different.
I was worried about the DMV today, but wasn't there very long. Yeah. Welcome back, DGS 152. So, Joann Fabrics, there were 600 stores established 82 years ago. They just closed all of them. We didn't have a Joann, but we had Sofro Fabrics, and my mom was a seamstress. So, we went a lot. And if I'm ever diagnosed with a terminal illness, take me to a fabric store, because 6 months will feel like 10 years. Like, it was just the most boring place ever. Did you have a least favorite place that your parents drug you to?
Joann Fabrics.
We talked about the fabric store and the wallpaper store.
Ooh.
Oh, man, the wallpaper store with the giant.
Bet it was quiet in there.
Oh.
And you just know it's going to take forever.
Oh, you would like lie on the floor like, this is how I die.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Ugh. Anything like that.
For me, it was Lowe's, but now I love going to Lowe's. I guess I'm just old now.
We didn't even have a cool store like Lowe's.
No.
Like, our stores were way worse.
Yeah, hardware store is kind of interesting if you're a kid.
Well,
yeah.
And I
it's
feel
not like super, but it's way better than the other two places.
We would go to the outdoor furniture, and you could sit in the swings or the bouncy chairs, right? So you could go to that section. But Joann's or the wallpaper store.
I remember Kmart was great. Save Mart was great. Yep. Venture was great.
Oh, Venture? I loved Venture.
Central Hardware, tolerable.
Yeah.
Sears was okay. They didn't have toys, but they had like riding lawnmowers you could sit on, and sometimes they had sporting goods. But anything other than that was just death. You just had to get in the Rounders.
The paint store.
Mm.
How many colors of blue are there?
I would go with my dad in downtown Wood River to a tire store, and then we would go across the street to Candy Bill's and get Cherry Cokes.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
At least there was a payoff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what was fun. My grandpa used to take me to the junkyard.
Yeah.
I loved the junkyard.
Yeah.
I would come back with junk, and none of it would... Like, I can't do anything with any of this.
The whole concept of it was amazing. Yeah.
I know we still have one on the outskirts of... so I guess it's Madison. It's pretty close to the racetrack. And it's still... That's the one we would go to, and it's still there.
The one right there on 111?
I guess it's 111. Is it right where the...
Yeah.
Right where the Gateway Raceway is?
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. That's it.
Did you guys have National, the grocery store?
Yes.
I love National. Yeah.
It was too expensive, I think. We were a Kroger family. Yeah.
I don't think we have Kroger in St. Louis.
We did back then.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why do I never remember a Kroger?
Yeah. I think it was an East Side thing.
Probably.
Yeah.
It was probably in Illinois, I think.
Brian says, when you guys are on break, you look like people feeling awkward at an AA meeting.
That's what it is.
I mean, that's pretty much what commercial breaks are, unless I'm yapping.
Yeah. We have some fun, though. It's just like just mini breaks, just sort of.
Well, yeah, the short ones are the tough ones. Top of the hour is, you know, go walk around, David, do a couple laps.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to save it. Because, oh, look, we've done it where, you know, a segment ends and you just keep going and going until the next segment, but it's almost like it's a little bit of a break.
It's nice to have a couple minutes.
Couple minutes to just kind of be quiet, look at your phone.
Yeah.
All right. You guys get out of here. See you tomorrow.